Federal News Radio's Tom Temin is here, and there's an aspect of the Department of Veterans Affairs scandal that I think we are missing, not just us at Federal News Radio, but the broader media covering this story in general. And that is this, there's a parallel to healthcare.gov. And that is, this is not a technology story, and this is not a story about anything else but management and data and the problems that agencies across government have in executing both of those missions. What do you think?
Well, I see a VA that is overwhelmed, and that's a function of management, because there should be no secrets to them about what the workload they would have, the number of people they have. I mean, they have very good data on how many veterans there are, where they live, and the problems they have. I mean, they have good statistics. If you read the IG report, the interim report that came out, the 35-pager, mercifully only 35 pages,
yeah.
The next one will be 700. But it said that 1,400 veterans did make it onto the list. 1,700 were purged from the list. So that, to me, says possibly that maybe they were overwhelmed by the list and sort of like swept 1,700 people under the rug,
yeah.
Which is clearly possibly criminal, wrong, but there was a system there that they couldn't cope.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I think it is a managerial failure, and you know how high it goes, that you know, we're waiting for the next report.
Yeah, well, and it's a data problem, because if you think that you have 1,400 people on a list and you should actually have 3,100, that means your data is not clean. That means somewhere along the line, somebody has manipulated the data that you are using to make decisions. And so the decisions that you're making are not based on accurate information.
No, that's right. And there was deliberate manipulation. I mean, the IG found that the average wait was 115 days. That was based on a sample, I think, of 226, a statistically valid sample. And the VA was saying it's an average of 24 days. Well, clearly they were either using the wrong sample or just making it up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was, they hoped it was, maybe their goal was 24 days. And, you know, if they had said it's 115 days, let's solve that, they probably would have gotten by, because very often you call, say you're new to a medical practice or you have a specialist that you're new to, 2, 3, 4 months to get an appointment in a busy area like Washington is not unheard of.
No.
In the civilian regular medical sector.
No, and even with very difficult circumstances. If what you have is difficult, and I know this from personal experience, unfortunately, if what you have is difficult, is a very unfortunate circumstance, but not life-threatening, then, yeah, the wait, a 1 to 4 month wait is not out of the question in the private sector either.
But on the other hand, you know, if veterans are tied to the VA system, which is it's a government-run health system for 6 million people. It has all of the vicissitudes you're going to get from government-run programs. And VA is capable of some very good things medically, and clearly they're capable of some bad things from a managerial standpoint. But what you can't do is shop around. I mean, VA is where you go. I have shopped around for different practices or something that seems routine that I don't feel like I need the world's best specialist for, you know, and found someone, okay, you could take me next week, I'll go there.
There's a convergence here, though, of some folks who have been on the program lately and the themes that they've talked about. Roger Baker was on the Countdown last Friday, and he talked about the fact that there are 1,400 healthcare facilities in the VA healthcare system.
Right.
So even if, and he didn't say this, but I'm extrapolating from that number, if 1% of them have major problems, which isn't an unreasonable expectation, that still means that there are 14 healthcare facilities in the VA system that are really, really terrible.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you could look at 1% a lot of ways. 1% is 10,000 out of a million.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have 6 million visitors a year to various facilities, that means a 1% problem rate is 60,000 people have a problem every year.
Okay, but let's think about that 14 number then in the context of what we're seeing on Capitol Hill. It could be just isolated in Phoenix, these problems. It appears that's not the case. It appears that there are problems other places.
Yeah, they're looking at 42 of them now.
But let's say out of that 42, it turns out
that's 3%.
Yeah, but let's say that it turns out that there are real problems at 14 of them. That's obviously not an acceptable ratio for Capitol Hill. As a taxpayer, I don't like to think that that there are 14 VA healthcare facilities across the country where the veterans aren't getting good service. I want them to be 1,400. I want that number to be zero where there are problems. Kim McCabe from ASI Government was on the program talking about a piece she wrote in GovExec about the fact that we expect government to be perfect. That's true. And that's probably not reasonable either, Tom.
Well, we expect perfection. You can't get perfection, at least mortals can't. But, you know, what did Vince Lombardi say? By striving for perfection, we might achieve excellence.
Yeah.
And so, again, you know, when you get back to the 14, well, if the 14 problem centers are the major medical centers, the 150 or so of those, that's a much bigger problem than if you have the little clinics that may have an issue. And in this case, the one that is the signature problem in all of this is Phoenix, and that's a big one. So, you know, what is New York City like, which probably has two or three? Boston has a gigantic one. You know, Washington, D.C. has a gigantic one. We just don't know yet.
Yeah, and I'm certainly not suggesting that, well, just because of the numbers, we shouldn't pay attention to these problems when we find them. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. And I'm also not suggesting that when we discover issues, we shouldn't try to fix them because, oh, well, we're always going to have a bottom percent. There's always going to be a 1 or 5 or 10% that are the lowest performers. I'm not suggesting that at all. What I am suggesting is that it would likely be more constructive for us to assume that in any kind of bureaucracy of any size, there will always be problem areas. How do we find out about them as quickly as possible? How do we ascertain that the data is correct, that those and all of the other facilities are putting out? And how do we triage and fix the problems as quickly as possible? And I don't get much sense yet that that's what people are thinking about what's going on in VA.
No, that's right. You have to have a quality process. And the quality control experts, going back to Deming and the people he learned from, say that the first thing is the right statistics on the right metrics. And when you get those, then when you see something going out of band, you say, okay, what's happening there? And then before it gets to be a crisis, you go fix the specific thing that's causing that out-of-band phenomenon. So if they had good metrics and good ways of measuring what metrics are important, such as waiting time, or there's probably 100 outcomes, you need to devote the expertise and the staff to monitoring the metrics. And when you see something, you know, at that center, gee, the waiting times have gone up 3 days over the last couple of months. What's going on? Before it turns into a crisis, you find out what it is. But you have to take a systems approach. And that's what, you know, the Pentagon tries to do that with so many things. VA probably tries to do it or thinks they do in some areas, but clearly something was brewing here that got way out of control before anyone, you know, it took a whistleblower.
Federal News Radio's Tom Temin. I'm going to pull this back to two more themes from the Management of Change conference I was at last week. First of all, Allison Hickey spoke there, and she's one of the people whose head has been on the chopping block about VA issues
Yes, indeed.
For a long time. She gave, by all accounts, a terrific presentation about how VA has responded to some of the challenges. And I'm not going to go through the whole litany of things. Jason Miller, our colleague, reports on them at federalnewsradio.com right now, did a terrific piece, not only about her presentation, but an exclusive interview he did with her afterwards. And, I mean, you just can't argue with the numbers unless you can argue with the numbers. And that seems to be the situation VA is in now. They have some success stories based on what Jason's reporting from her presentation at that event. And they can't, nobody wants to hear them. Very few people want to hear them. We want to hear them, but not many people want to hear them. That takes me to the other piece. And that is the conversation that I had with a number of federal people and a number of contractors in the track that I moderated there about, for God's sake, when you do something well, talk about it. Tell us about it. Tell our friends and competitors in the federal business space about it. But the reason people think the way they do about the government right now is they read about healthcare.gov and they read about the VA, and there's no body of information out there from us or any of these other places that want to hear about your best practices for them to say, well, but over here's 10 examples of how this agency or some other federal agency did something really well. That doesn't exist because you know it And I know it from trying to communicate with a lot of these agencies. Well, we just don't want to talk about that right now. Why? You did it right. Now is the time to shine. And they rarely take advantage of those opportunities.
Well, I think their problem is they're not so much worried about whatever approbation they might get from the public. But when you stick your neck out in large bureaucracies, sometimes the bureaucracy organizes around you. And you could be seen as stealing thunder from the deputy assistant secretary or the secretary. And I'm not justifying the phenomenon you describe, but I think that's just the way it is in large bureaucracies. And so I think people are afraid to stand out. Also, if people tout success often, they may expect that the next time something does go wrong, it's going to be all that much worse because they were boasting. So, yeah, there are good stories, and, we do tell some of them. I mean, the people that get the Sammy's Awards that we have been interviewing and will be interviewing through the awards final ceremonies in September. I mean, that's telling good stories, but it's third parties telling good stories, and it's more based on long-term accomplishments and so forth. But, yeah, I mean, every organization has the successes. In government, it's not – the culture is not to stick your neck out and tout your own horn.